Well, today we have heard much of the Christmas story as is told in Matthew and Luke. In these passages, we've heard from many of the people who were there and were witnesses to this great event. We've heard from Mary and Joseph. We've heard from Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. And we've heard from the shepherds. We've even heard from angels. But we haven't heard from Jesus himself. What would he say? What would he want us to know about his birth? Where would we look to find Jesus telling us what he would want us to know about his birth? We do not find his story in the Gospels, but we do find it in the Old Testament. We find it in Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, and then it's retold again in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you want to turn to Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Here is retold from the perspective of the author of Hebrews by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when he, that is Christ, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. We read right here in Hebrews that these are the actual words of Christ. These are what he said. And this is what he wants us to know about his birth. The first thing Jesus Christ is telling us is that he came into the world for a purpose. And this point is important because it is uniquely true of him, of Jesus. It cannot be said of any other person that he or she was born into the world knowing the specific task they were to do. Parents may have purposes for their children. Others may have purposes for the one born. But the child does not have those purposes. The child has to acquire those. But Jesus was different. Jesus tells us that he came and he was conscious of coming for a very specific purpose. And what was that purpose? Did you catch it? What did he say? Behold, I have come to do your will. So what is that will? Well, God's will was that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, took on a human body in order that he could live a life in perfect obedience to the will and the law of God and then willingly die as the perfect payment for our disobedience. If we look to that first verse in Hebrews 10, we can see this is the context of why Jesus was born. So let's look over at Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1. And here it's talking about sacrifices, and that's how this ties together. The law, it says, is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are annual reminders of sin because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The context here in Hebrews is that sacrifices are commanded by God to maintain a right standing with God, an awareness of our need for him, and a payment for our disobedience. But these things were all inadequate to erase mankind's disobedience. And we even saw that it doesn't take away the guilt. We read in Hebrews and other places that he takes away our guilt and our shame. He takes it all away. But the sacrifices couldn't do that. And then Jesus announces that the burnt offerings and the sin offerings, they were not pleasing to God. So Jesus said, "Here I am. I have come." And he is stating that he will be that perfect sacrifice. James Boyce wrote, "The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world with a purpose, and that purpose was to do God's will, to be our Savior. We miss the most important thing about Christmas if we fail to see that." Amen? We've been talking about that a lot this whole month. The purpose. The second point we see in these verses is that Jesus came with the knowledge that he was the perfect one to fulfill that purpose. He was aware that he was the one person who was perfectly suited to be our Savior by virtue of who he was. He was not only a man, he was God as well. Therefore, as a man, he could die on the cross, representing the entire human race. And as God, he alone could live a perfectly obedient life and pay the impossible debt owed to God by the entire human race. When we look at the moral requirement of what is needed to be right with God, as spelled out in his law, and compare it to our own sad and pitiful performance, we can only ask, who can pay such a great debt to God? Surely not I. Amen. But Jesus said, "Here I am to do your will." The reason that's so key is because, and I talk about it from here all the time, he always did God's will perfectly. Never once did his own will. None of us could ever do that. But that was the requirement. And so God said, "I will send my son." And Jesus said, "Here I am to do your will." Only he can pay the debt. And pay the debt, he did. The third thing we see in this text is that Jesus was delighted to do the Father's will. He was delighted to take the form of a man and live a life that was worthy to pay our debt to the Father. We read it earlier in Psalm 40, verse 8. "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written is within my heart." Once again, James Boyce wrote, "Could Jesus be delighted to come to this earth from glory, to lay aside all the privileges and prerogatives he had enjoyed as the eternal Son of God, to take to himself a human form, to become like us, to become poor, to suffer throughout his life, and then eventually to suffer upon the cross and die the death of a sinner, a malefactor, an evildoer?" Yes, Jesus delighted in that, because it was his pleasure to do the Father's will to achieve our salvation. We see in Hebrews 12:2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What was the joy that was set before him? It was doing God's will. Just doing God's will. Is it any wonder that the angels were joyful as they announced the coming of the one who was to be the Savior of the entire world? And we too should be joyful, because Jesus was joyful as he came into the world to be our personal Savior. One last thing we can see in these verses is Jesus said, as we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, "Here I am." He speaks in the present tense, which tells us that he is saying, "I have come. But not only have I have come never to depart again." The Lord Jesus Christ, who came then, comes again and again and again through the person of his Holy Spirit, to bring his salvation to each, every individual who asks him for it. And that is the reason the Christmas story is still so alive. If the story were a fable or even an event that merely happened over 2,000 years ago and then ended, it would have no hold on us. What does it matter if someone died long ago in a faraway land? So what? But if the one who came then still comes today, and if he comes to the individual through the Holy Spirit to bring the results of the salvation that he accomplished over 2,000 years ago to each and every one who asks him, even now, then this story is living, and it enables us to live also. So do you enjoy this life of Christ in you? This Jesus who came at Christmas time to be your Savior? Have you asked him for this wonderful gift of salvation? Because he can come into your heart and give you this free gift this very moment in time if you just simply ask him for it. We sang earlier that wonderful hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It was written by Philip Barrows as he remembered his visit to Bethlehem in 1866. The third verse so beautifully expresses the purpose of Jesus' birth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came to this earth to save us and to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Wow. To bring you to God. And he still comes to us today. We just need to ask him. And we can ask, and we can keep on asking. We can ask and ask and ask every day to enter into our hearts, to bring us to God every day. As we look at the Gospels, Jesus says, ask and keep on asking. So if you've asked him in, that's awesome. But we got to keep asking him in every day, every moment. When things get really hard, we really got to ask him in. When things are going great, we better ask him in. Or then we're going to be like some of those kings that were doing really, really well until they got proud. And it's right there in 2 Chronicles. And his pride came before the fall, and the king fell. Because God blessed him with a great kingdom, and then he started to think it was his. We can ask and ask and ask, and we should, every day. If you ever never have asked him in, you need to. If you have asked him in, and many of you probably have, if not all of you, we can keep asking. Amen. Hallelujah.